What's up, everybody? This is Zach, and I am here for another solo episode. It is National Preparedness Month, and so I was thinking, why don't we make an episode revolving around that? As many of you are aware, especially if you are anywhere on the West Coast or Gulf Coast right now, the U.S. is actually being impacted by quite a few natural disasters. And my previous life was actually in emergency management and disaster preparedness. And so I thought today would be a good opportunity to discuss how cybersecurity and natural disasters actually cross. So the most common issues during natural disasters where cybersecurity may come up is most often fraud. So this is often carried out by phishing attacks following after disasters. So after a disaster, especially if you are living in an area that was directly impacted, even more so if you're in an area that might receive individual assistance, which is a type of federal funding that civilians can receive to help them to recover from the disaster, you're going to be inundated with contacts from insurance companies, from federal agencies, from local agencies, et cetera. And so you may be getting lots of phone calls, emails, and even in-person contact from people you may not know and recognize. So the most common way that fraud occurs in this case is that, you know, you get phone calls or you respond to emails, you respond to these in-person contacts and you provide personal identifiable information, your banking information, et cetera, on accident. You know, so the vulnerability here is mostly that, you know, you don't know any better. And so you're putting yourself at risk. The first thing to do to protect yourself is to actually understand how that process works. So during a disaster, you should be receiving information on how to get access to recovery funding and resources through your state or local emergency management agency. So if you have county government, it might be through the county. If you're in a smaller state like Vermont, it should be coming through the state of Vermont. They should be providing you with specific numbers and points of contact to reach out to get assistance. FEMA disaster aid can be requested remotely, and that's most often done through the disasterassistance.gov website. Again, as you're clicking on links or you're looking at stuff, make sure that, you know, for instance, you get an email that says like, click here to get access to FEMA disaster aid. You know, if you mouse over that and you see disaster101.ru/ you're about to get ripped off, maybe don't click on that link. You also want to make sure that when you're using any websites that it's also secured through some form of encryption, which most browsers at this point, if you look at the left, just to the left of the URL, you should be able to see if it's actually secure. Obviously, don't ever share information with anyone that you don't trust. FEMA and other agencies generally are not going to ask you for information like Social Security, bank accounts, IDs, credit card numbers and stuff if they're calling you. And if they do, you can ask for other ways to sort of provide that information safely. If you think you've been compromised already, FEMA actually has a security office that's called the Fraud Investigation and Inspections Division, and you should report that information to them, or you can just report it to your local law enforcement and make sure that it gets followed up. One thing that's occurring that's different from disasters in the past is that even if you are is that responders actually now find themselves using a lot more cyber-based equipment. So everything from radio communications to the systems used to sort of manage incidents are all handled now using some form of communication with, software as a service or, you know, accessing shared files and folders. Different ways that you're connecting to networks and data that in the past you wouldn't have. So as a responder, you should be obviously very cognizant of, you know, how you're logging into stuff. Don't share that stuff. As a cybersecurity professional, it's important that you reach out to these organizations ahead of time and try to make sure that they're secured. So sometimes these systems aren't used for a long time. They're only used during disasters. And so what I've seen in my experience is that during the disaster, people haven't logged in. And in the flurry of confusion and frustration, people start opening up accounts without maybe verifying who they are and handing off access to things in ways that aren't always the most secure because basically they need access to, you know, someone needs access to the system in the event of the emergency. So as a cybersecurity professional, one thing you could do is try to get in and meet with these agencies and organizations ahead of time and, you know, try to provide guidance and assistance. You know, certainly New Harbor Security can provide these services if you're an agency that's looking to find out how secure your infrastructure is. But I can promise you the time to ensure these systems are secure is not during the incident. The other thing that happens often during disasters is actually that bad guys and nation states, you know that we're vulnerable during disasters and we'll use this as an opportunity to strike. So whether you are involved in the response or you're a cybersecurity organization or you're, you know, just a business that's connected to the internet, which most are, you should have a plan on how you can protect yourself during a disaster from cybersecurity incidents. So, you know, first and foremost, do you have a plan at all on how you can respond to a cyber incident if you don't have your normal infrastructure? If you're an organization like New Harbor and your responsibility is to secure other organizations, or if you're part of like a government agency that helps secure other organizations like a state, you know, IT office or something, you know, do you have plans in place on how you can respond to protect other agencies or whatever, your clients, without, you know, access to your building or access to your normal infrastructure because it may be inaccessible or it may be destroyed. And, you know, you should practice responding to a cyber attack on your infrastructure without access to the normal systems that you may rely on. Because again, during a disaster, when you're at your most vulnerable, that's when the bad guys are most likely to strike. The other thing to remember is that cyber infrastructure is actually one of the critical infrastructure components. And with that, you get access to a lot of things that can make you better at responding to disasters. So the CISA, which is the Critical Infrastructure and Information Security Agency, it's a sub-agency of the Department of Homeland Security, actually can provide a lot of the resources you need to protect yourself ahead of time, as well as help you prepare in responding to a disaster. Cybersecurity staff may find themselves rolling into disasters to help out with protecting infrastructure, as well as to provide, you know, support and administration of some of those critical systems. And so with that, you want to make sure that you're training, exercising, and, you know, preparing for that type of incident. You can do that by taking some very basic introductory courses that will help you to integrate into the response, as well as learn the language of emergency responders. So like many industries, emergency and disaster response has its own, you know, vernacular. There's a lot of acronyms that get tossed around. And in some cases, you just need to at least learn the language. So in response to some major incidents that impacted the United States over the course of the last, you know, 40 to 50 years, we've evolved a system in this country called the National Incident Management System. And in fact, a lot of countries and other organizations have adopted this system or some form of the system so that, you know, you can even work across some international boundaries to respond to stuff. And so again, the National Incident Management System, or NIMS, was actually created to ensure that, you know, responders create a common response framework and language that can be used by responders across the country so that, you know, essentially you could pick up, get dropped off in any, you know, state in the US and start working within the same structure and using the same language as anyone there. Within that system, NIMS, there's also the Incident Command System. And this is specifically designed to, you know, provide some further guidance and standards on how you organize, communicate, and share resources during an emergency. So the courses that you can take are really there's a NIMS introductory course and a ICS introductory course. These are IS700 and IS800. Both of those can be taken online. I'll put a link in the show notes for those. And you can go even a little bit further. Texas Extension Services, or TEKS, offers some specific cyber response courses that are designed to integrate cybersecurity professionals into the incident command system and the National Incident Management System. And so again, having these courses ahead of time will be a huge advantage because now you're not spent catching up. And as you progress through these, you can actually get further and further into more advanced training. And the nice thing about this is most of these courses are actually completely free or really minimal cost. And in fact, some cases, the federal government will actually pay you to go to these courses at some of the preparedness centers that are around the country. So long story short, whenever we're thinking about natural disasters, we have to be thinking about cybersecurity. In 2020, victims of disasters, as well as the responders, are going to be connected to the internet in some shape or manner. You know, civilians and responders are constantly connected. I mean, just think about, you know, what's the first thing that you do when you see an emergency in town? You know, you're probably calling 911. You might be texting 911. These systems, you know, are going to go to a dispatch center. That dispatch center is more than likely connected via some sort of IP link to the radio towers that are dispatching the emergency responders. Those emergency responders might be using radio communication systems that are connected to the radio tower, as well as linking to Wi-Fi or some sort of cellular network to provide radio over IP systems. They're probably using some form of computer-aided dispatch where they're going to have a computer in their cab that's providing them updates, information on the address, et cetera. When they get there, they're taking pictures and using systems to assist them in their response. As the disaster expands and becomes more complex, you actually get a greater and greater complexity to the technological infrastructure that's being used. Local responders may be linking now to emergency operations centers in their cities, and it may expand into their counties and then ultimately get into states and national levels. There are systems that the states then use to coordinate this response, and they manage the incident by, accounting for logistics and resources, by translating information into useful data that's actionable. And then they might be sharing that with the federal government to coordinate, you know, things like federal response teams that might be coming in, like urban search and rescue teams. They may use radio over IP to actually link different radio systems so that an agency that's coming in, you know, can use the same radio system without having to go through, you know, a whole bunch of programming and stuff. Disasters are technological and in many different ways. And so as a cybersecurity professional, you should be at least preparing yourself and your organization for an emergency like this. But certainly, you know, if you can and make yourself available to support incidents, you're going to have some basic training so that you can understand how all of this works. So anyways, if you are an organization in need of cybersecurity, whether it's offensive security testing through our RedSec operators, or you are looking for ways to build a more robust security platform for your organization, you know, if you're an agency that is trying to protect your infrastructure, you know, these are all things that New Harbor can help with. We have experience in. And then again, it's National Preparedness Month. Even you as an individual should be taking some steps to help prepare yourself and understand your cybersecurity risks that you face during any kind of disaster, whether it's a natural disaster like a flood or a tornado, some sort of human caused disaster, you know, like a terrorist incident, or even, you know, a disaster that actually impacts cybersecurity infrastructure. You need to be prepared for that. So we can help you with that as well. So visit us, www.newharborsecurity.com. Next week, we're going to have Justin on. Next week, we're going to have Kathy, who is one of the original folks on. We're going to continue our discussions on how New Harbor got started. So stay tuned for that, and we will talk to you later.